Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
Because CRT and wokeness is a Marxist system, that means that it is going fundamentally to divide people.
And we're going to speak repentance to all people, doesn't matter who. And we're going to do it whether states say it's legal or not, or whether they confiscate our buildings or throw us out or do what they may do.
If we don't start teaching stewardship from a position of our created identity and our baptismal identity, what we end up with is a destination that is about what we do. It's about legalism. It's about guilt. It's about manipulation.
The small catechism, catechesis of faithfulness to that, I have yet to find a church that extols contemporary worship that has a vigorous program in catechesis.
Colorado trumpet players love Issues Etc.
We meet her at the very beginning of Samuel's story, and Samuel's story in the Old Testament is the very beginning of David's story. But there she is, Hannah, Samuel's mother. Even before she is his mother, she longs for a child. She goes and she seeks one from the Lord. She prays earnestly, and the Lord hears her prayer. Samuel is born. Well, why do we remember Hannah other than, well, just kind of a bit player in the story of Samuel and the bigger story of eventually King David? And when she has received this child, she actually sings a song there in the second chapter of that book. It's a song that sounds an awful lot like the song that Mary sings, her Magnificat. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Thursday afternoon, the 2nd of September. We're going to be remembering, on this day as the church does, Old Testament Matriarch Hannah with Dr. Timothy Seleska of Concordia Seminary. We'll spend some time after that talking with Pastor Ted Geese, reviewing the movie Pig. He teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Joining us to remember Old Testament Matriarch Hannah, Dr. Timothy Seleska, Professor of Old Testament at Concordia Seminary, author of the Concordia Commentary on Psalms 1 through 50. Dr. Seleska, welcome back.
Oh, thanks, Todd. Good to be here.
Hannah is remembered as the mother of the prophet and judge Samuel. Is she merely a supporting player in Samuel's story?
I think she's a lot more than that. Her beautiful song that she sings is kind of a summary of the themes that start to play themselves out in the rest of the book of Samuel and in the Kings as well. So there's some beautiful things in her hymn or in her prayer that are important for us to remember for the rest of the story. And so while she's a supporting players are those that can actually move the story along and make the story what it is. So that's, I think, an important role that Hannah plays.
Tell us her story as it's brought to us there in that Old Testament book.
Well, she was one of the wives of Elkanah, and the other one was Peninnah, and Peninnah had children, but Hannah was childless. And of course, especially in a culture like that, she was very much grieved by that. Evidently, Peninnah did not treat her too well, even though the text says that, and maybe it is because she was Elkanah's favorite, it says. It seems to indicate that. So during one of their yearly trips to the sanctuary to offer sacrifices and to worship their Lord, Hannah went and prayed to the Lord and opened her heart to the Lord when Eli the priest overheard her. And remember, there's that story that he thought she was drunk. And she said, certainly not. She's been praying and speaking to the Lord. And then Eli blesses her and says in verse 17, go in peace, and the God of Israel will grant your petition. And Hannah goes away from the place, and then the text ends with saying that Elkanah and Hannah had their relationship as husband and wife, and the Lord remembered her, and she brought forth a son named Samuel. So that's her story.
What does it mean that the Lord had closed her womb? That's how it's put there by the author.
Well, I think it's you see that theme other parts of the scriptures, right? These kind of incidences in which a woman is not able to have children. And remember, if you happen to believe that the Lord is almighty, meaning that he is active in his omnipotence, that he is in charge of all things, rules all in all, and brings both good and evil, then something that happens like this, not being able to bear children, has a theological significance, not just a social significance, you know, the standing of the wife, or an economic significance. You don't have children to carry on or work with you. There's a theological significance, and that's how she read it. God had closed her womb. Doesn't say why in this case, but that's how she interpreted what had happened to her.
So Hannah's prayer, as she is there before the altar, is, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall ever be used on his head. What does that vow that she takes on behalf of her as yet to be conceived son mean?
Well, it's called a Nazirite vow, and you see the larger story behind that in Numbers 6, where the kind of instructions for that are given, and it's a vow taken by people who want to separate themselves for the Lord or to the Lord for a certain period of time, and it involved not cutting your hair, not drinking any strong drink for a period of time. Now, whether that must mean they devote themselves to maybe prayer or fasting or some other activities. And so Samuel was kind of set apart for his life. Another person that was the case with was Samson and his birth in Judges 13.
So what is the significance of her son Samuel's name?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, because the text says she called his name Samuel in Hebrew, Shemuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. And sometimes there's obvious connections between the name and that reason for it. Here it's less obvious. The Hebrew word is sha'al, for to ask, but notice that it's Shemuel with a mem in there. I think the best explanation is that it's from the root shama, which means to hear. And so if it's shama, to hear, and ael, God, his name would mean God has heard. And I think that's a good explanation, that God heard Hannah's prayer.
You mentioned earlier her psalm or her song that is in the second chapter there. Many have compared it to Mary's Magnificat. What do you think of that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that there are definitely similarities. Mary picks up a lot of themes from the Old Testament and, you know, builds on those, as does Simeon. And so there's a kind of a heavy thematic carryover to that. I think the significance of Hannah's prayer is strongly seen in what follows in the former prophets, especially in that whole theme of the reversal of fortunes that you see in verse 7. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, etc. So that happened certainly in Hannah's case. You see there's this dramatic reversal. You also see it in David's life, you know, one of the predominant characters that's going to come up in the former prophets. He took the lowly and exalted. And David, of course, makes mention of that kind of theme in his own psalms and prayers as well. And it happens to Israel as a nation as well, this raising up the one who is lowly, and what the prophets came to call this reversal of fortunes, or the restoration of your fortunes when all looks lost.
She ends that song with something that many may think is anachronistic, because, of course, while Samuel will live to see the era of the kings begun, there is no king in Israel. That's kind of the whole point of the Judges section. But she says, may God give strength to his king and raise up high the strength of his anointed one. Is that a prophecy of what God would in part accomplish through the son that she had given him?
Well, no, you know, that is a very interesting observation. And like you said, a lot of people have seen that as well, that there seems to be a prophetic note, let's say, to that part of the psalm. And you also see even kind of this eschatological note with the Lord will judge the ends of the earth, right? And all of a sudden, you know, he will give strength to his king and exaltation, exalt the horn of his anointed. We see how that plays out in its wonderful way ultimately in our Lord Jesus, but already in anticipation of the Davidic kingship, who was going to be the heir of the promise that was given to him in 2 Samuel 7. And you can also almost see it as a back reference to the covenant when God told Abraham even that kings will come from you, or that you're going to have a seed, you know, you're in you all nations of the earth are going to be blessed, and so on. Again, it's hard to kind of be more precise than that, but it is a wonderful line for us as readers that help us connect the promises that she sees there with both what went before her in this narrative and especially what's going to come after through the rest of the Old Testament, through the Davidic kingship and to Jesus, and like I said, even to the end of time. So it's one of those phrases that is pretty wonderful to look at.
Dr. Timothy Seleska is our guest, remembering Old Testament matriarch Hannah along with the church on the second day of September. When we come back, how does God use Samuel to announce his judgment against the wickedness of Eli's priesthood? Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming 3-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your will. Bear us to what we seek to
see. The 21st century.
What life one wants, the regent sees. A time for love, a time for peace.
The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, remembering Old Testament matriarch Hannah. Dr. Timothy Seleska is our guest, professor of Old Testament, Concordia Seminary, and author of the Concordia Commentary on Psalms 1 through 50. Ministry by Mail is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Military members receive a welcome packet with spiritual resources, including portals of prayer. Learn more how to enroll a Lutheran serviceman and women at lcms.org/armed forces. Serving those who serve, LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armed forces. Is there some irony here, Dr. Seleska, in the very man who promises Hannah that God will hear her prayer, the high priest Eli, is the one that's undone by Samuel's proclamation there, or God's proclamation through the young prophet Samuel, because of the wickedness of his priesthood?
Yes, very interesting how Eli and the house of Eli is brought down because of his sons, basically, and Samuel's the one. And I suppose the story of Samuel's birth, given what we know about the birth of Isaac, for example, and these kind of people who through whom God works these miracles in impossible ways to our eyes, Samuel, the first part of the book, sets us up for him being a major character into what in what's coming next. And so, in a sense, the reader, we're getting ready for it. We don't know exactly what's going to happen, but right away, the author of Samuel starts telling us about Eli's worthless sons and then on into the call of Samuel and then the bad ending that Eli and the sons had in the Ark of the Covenant, too, right after that.
So talk about something you mentioned before, and that's God's use of barrenness to prove his promises in the Old Testament.
Well, it is kind of interesting that our God is a God who says what he's going to do and does what he says. And so you have that, first of all, in Abraham, where he promises Abraham this son, this through him all nations are going to be blessed, beginning in chapter 12, then chapter 15, then chapter 18. And here is Abraham, 100 years old, and Sarah's 99, physically impossible to have a children. The narrative, Genesis makes that quite clear. They can't have children anymore. But again, God made the promise. Can God keep his promise when it looks totally impossible? And we see that he does, you see. And it is, in a sense, can God really raise the dead? That's impossible. But he does. And so in this story of barrenness, the impossibilities, you see this pattern develop in which God does what he says he's going to do. I mean, the same thing happens when Israel is in exile in Babylon, Ezekiel 37, it was just a valley of dry bones. That's a nation. They're as good as dead. How in the world is God going to keep his promise? But see, in a sense, he raises them back up and brings them back to the nation and does indeed keep his promise. I mean, Jesus dies on the cross. How in the world is this one the one that's going to save Israel? How is he going to be the one that's the fulfiller of the covenant and the promise that God made? Well, God raised him from the dead. And so in a sense, Israel's story is one in which they always pass through the judgment from salvation. So God makes Abraham a promise, then covers it up in the opposite because he tells him to kill Isaac. What do you mean kill him? But Hebrews makes that comment that, wow, God's even able to raise, he believed that God was even able to raise the dead seed. And so it's part of that lovely pattern, the reversal, when all is impossible. So it reminds us that our God can do the impossible. How in the world? We have never seen anyone raised from the dead. What do you mean we're going to be raised from the dead? But see, can God do what he says? Well, yeah, he did it for Israel throughout their history. He did it for Jesus, Israel condensed into one. He does it for us who have been made part of Israel's destiny through baptism, buried with Jesus in death. And just as we died with him, we know we will rise with him, Paul says.
So finally, how is Hannah an example of faith and good works?
Well, I mean, I think that she took her grief and pain to the Lord in prayer and asked what she wanted for her soul honestly and humbly, and the Lord granted her request. I think we have to watch a little bit that, oh, if we just ask hard enough, somehow God will do what we want. But what we see is a woman who is, you know, suffering in her life physically, emotionally, relationally, and brings that to the Lord in prayer. And you can see a woman who trusts the Lord. And then when she receives her heart's desire, she worships him, praises him, rejoices in him, and is even willing to give Samuel to the service of the Lord. And it seems like she does it in great joy.
Dr. Timothy Seleska is professor of Old Testament at Concordia Seminary. He's author of the Concordia Commentary on Psalms 1 through 50. You can purchase this commentary by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 or online at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Dr. Seleska, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Todd. Take care, man.
We will review the movie Pig. Pastor Ted Geese will be our guest on the other side of the break. He teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film.
The promise of God is that wherever his word is, wherever it is proclaimed, it does not return void.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, making the case against American revivalism at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And he encourages us to continue to hold up the truth, to hold up that which we have received faithfully from our fathers, in all things especially, to hold up Christ. That's my case for the importance of practice and doctrine informing one another.
You can watch more than 10 hours of teachings from this year's conference, including Dr. Rast's presentation, for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the Scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran music. Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
This is Pastor Leonard Payton of St. John Lutheran Church, Forest Park, Illinois. Forest Park being an inner ring suburb of Chicago. We're a mile and a half south of Concordia University, Chicago, and a 10-minute walk from a metro station and the ends of both the Blue Line and the Green Line. If work is moving you to Chicago, consider joining us. If you're visiting Chicago, come worship with us. It's a church for a great city and a great location. Our website is stjohnforestpark.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
When Martin Luther preached the dedication for the Torgau Church, he asserted that nothing else happened in this house but that our dear Lord speak to us and we respond in prayer, thanksgiving, and praise.
Issues, Etc. guest Dr. John Pless.
The same could be said of Concordia Theological Seminary. This is a place where our Lord speaks to us through his word and we respond in joyful and thankful confession. We therefore invite you to visit our campus, where the Word of Christ dwells among us richly.
Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, ctsfw.edu or 1-800-481-2155.